This morning, I want to talk a little bit about Philippians, which is the subject of a conference that we had over this little like training time that we had over the New Year's time. And so just have like a little bit of overflow and application from that. So I just want to talk through the first few verses of Philippians, because it's a marvelous book, and there's no way that I could like encapsulate everything that we covered, because we covered, well, a lot of the first two chapters of the book. But I just want to give you a little picture. And the picture I want to give you is of Paul and Timothy, and the Philippians. And, you know, sometimes you look at the New Testament and you just kind of say, like, well, this guy wrote a letter. We can all read it. We might not realize, like, the context of the relationship between the Apostle Paul and the people that he was writing to. And Philippians is an unusual book in terms of this highlighting this relationship, and in terms of just a picture of experiencing and having something of the gospel that is like part of your life, affecting your life, and doing that in context of older brothers, older sisters, even in Philippians' case, older brothers and sisters who are caring for you. And so just want to walk through these verses and highlight a few points. Okay, let's all read verse 1 together. Let's read verse 1 together. And maybe when you read the Bible, you just, this is a very skipped over verse. And so let's read it together, and we'll see what we get out of it. Okay, number 1, one, two, three, go. Paul and Timotheus, bondmen of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the overseers and ministers. Isn't that an amazing verse? Amen. Okay, very good. Well, I want to just highlight a couple things here in this verse. First of all, you know, Paul and Timothy, they write, and they present themselves as like servants or bondmen. I'm using the Darby translation here. So presents themselves as like, we're just servants to you. And then they write to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. And that's just, a saint is a believer. You know, the Catholic Church teaches in order to become a saint, you need to have a certain miracle, a certain, a certain kind of act that you have done, and then you get kind of like, you know, approved for sainthood. But actually, in the New Testament, that's not how the New Testament uses that word saint. Actually, every single believer in the New Testament is a saint. And so anyway, he says, like, to all the saints in Philippi. That means all of the believers in Philippi. And then you can see, like, what is the church in Philippi full of? Who is it full of? The church in Philippi is full of believers who are saints. And saint means something like this. There's something inside of you that is holy. Something inside of you that is sanctified. So then when a person believes in Jesus or becomes a believer in Christ, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes into you. You're born again. And Jesus Christ lives inside of you. There are two who are holy. The Spirit is holy. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. and Christ is surely holy. And when those, when Jesus Christ is in you, when the Holy Spirit is in you, you know what? There's something holy in you. You are a saint. And Paul is writing. And you don't have to have done a miracle. You don't have to do all of these things. No, you're just holy because you are a believer. You're a believer in Christ. You're holy. Now, so you look around here in this room. You say, like, who is holy in this room? Well, you would ask, who is a person who believes in Jesus? And if you're a person who believes in Jesus, you could say, then that means you have Jesus in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Then if you do, say amen. Amen. That means there's something holy. Something holy. You're a saint. A saint. It doesn't mean you're a finished work. We'll see that later on. Well, you're at least begun. You're at the beginning. Okay. Another thing that is interesting about this this address to the Philippians is this. They're the saint to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. And then look at this little phrase, with the overseers and ministers. Now, the Greek word for this is like the overseers and deacons. Sometimes people say, some versions translate this deacons. Darby translates it ministers. It's people that are serving. And I kind of like this because it's a good message for what we need in 2024. Paul does not write this letter to the Christian who is watching YouTube. There's a lot of Christians that watch YouTube. There's good stuff on YouTube, and then there are. Whenever somebody says, I've been doing some research on YouTube, I always like, I'm ready for whatever's coming. You just don't know what's coming. You don't know what's coming. But what these Christians were is this. They were with overseers and deacons. In other words, they were with somebody who could, like, oversee their spiritual life. And then also ministers, they were with people who had some evidence in their life of serving. And, you know, a deacon in the New Testament is somebody who is not only grown in life, but also grown in their service to the Lord. You look at them, and it's like, oh wow, there's some proven service to God. Okay, they were with. So, okay, you three. Sorry, you're sat in the front row. So you have to come up. My illustration. Come on up. So, okay, you go, Robert, you come on over here. Come on over here. Okay. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to introduce you to the overseer. Okay. And this is the minister. Overseer and minister. They're somewhat grown in the Lord. This, he is the saint. Yeah. Okay, this will be the tragedy of the modern day Christian. This saint watches YouTube. What do I do with church? YouTube it up. I learned that from one of my son's friends. Oh, why don't you just YouTube it up? Okay, on YouTube, you can get good sermons. And you can find Greek word explanations in the New Testament. But on YouTube, there's no one who is going to oversee you. There's no one who is like experienced in serving that can like help you. You're just an observer, but no one really cares for your soul. So could you imagine? And then this is about a lot of different Christians. And then you basically get to choose whatever you want to see, like this YouTube channel. Then it's like, I'm going to unsubscribe and then subscribe. Could you say it's bad? It's not bad because at least they're saints. And then, you know, so if Paul would write without the overseers and deacons and ministers to the saints in Philippi, I'm going to tell you these things to you. And then you get a certain feeling, but you might think like, are they connected? Are they really like in a healthy situation? And you have a thought like, maybe not. They're just alone. Are they saints? Yes. But are they in the most healthy place? Probably not. But what if I would say, hey, Robert, I've got a message to you, and I am going to give you this message. Hey, Robert, with the overseer and with the minister over here. Okay, so I'm going to say something to you, Robert, and then you know who's going to know about it? The overseer. And then you know who's going to also know about it? In this version, the minister and the deacon. It's kind of like, thank you, you can sit down, brother. It's kind of like maybe a teacher would be saying like, oh, I got to get through with this student. So I am going to have a meeting with the parent and the student so the parents know, you know. And then that is the book of Philippians. It's like, it's not just that Paul is teaching all the Philippians all alone. You could read it or not. You know, you could do that with some books in the New Testament. You know, like Peter to the dispersion. But here, Paul's like, I want you to receive what I'm teaching, along with your overseers, with the overseers and the ministers. You realize like, oh, I'm in a context. And what a marvelous thing when believers are growing in the context of overseers. So people that are like, it's the same, the same elder and overseer is the same like person in the New Testament, elder and overseer. So it's like a church leader, somebody who is overseeing. And then they have like some oversight, a good spiritual oversight for your soul. It's really good. It's really healthy. I hope all of us can say who that is in our lives. And I don't just mean like, oh, this guy on YouTube, he's my elder. It's very hard. It's very hard to have an elder on YouTube or to have an overseer on YouTube. You can learn things, and there's a lot of good stuff on there. There's a lot of bad stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. But, wow, to have somebody in that context where they could say this, Walter, I'm really concerned for your Christian life. I'm an overseer. And so you just see like Paul had such a definite church life in view. You know, with an overseer, it's great. With a serving person around you, it's great because like if you like run into some challenges in the Christian life, you know what? There's somebody praying for you. There's somebody fighting for you. There's somebody just before the Lord. And then, I would just say there's levels of this. Sometimes maybe, you know, we need an overseer. We need a minister around us. And then other times, to other people, we are the overseers. We are the ministers. Because you can always find somebody at a lower spiritual level than you are. You can always find somebody like that. Somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Somebody who doesn't know the Bible in a certain way. And you just see how a good, healthy growth in the body of Christ is a growth in connection in all of these things. So I'll go to the next verse. Look how warm Paul is in his experience with the Philippians. Let's just read 3 and 4 together. I thank my God for my whole remembrance of you, constantly in my every supplication, making the supplication for you all with joy. I really like this. First of all, I like it because another version translates this. I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you. In other words, like, this is Paul. He just remembers the Philippians, and he's like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Sometimes so you get a sense like, oh, they're pretty good. The Philippians are pretty good. You know, if you would remember, maybe if he would remember somebody from another one of his epistles, like a Corinthian, somebody from, you know, Corinth, he wrote another letter, and then Corinth had all kinds of problems. The church had all kinds of problems. He never wrote this to Corinth. Maybe he would remember a Corinthian and be like, oh, where do I start? Or he would remember a Corinthian and just say like, oh, Lord, can I just find another church? Or can I find another church to help? But when he remembered the Philippians, you know what? He just said, thank you. Thank you. When we remember Algernon, don't you just say thank you? Algernon, can you stand up? Let's all just remember. Algernon, do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Have you given your life to the Lord?
Yes.
Do you try to serve him with, like, on Sunday mornings or beyond Sunday mornings?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Don't you just thank the Lord?
Yeah.
You remember Algernon is like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, there's an Algernon. Thank you, Algernon. Praise the Lord. If Algernon would stand up and we were like, oh, no. You know, it's like a really positive feeling. And I like this. Constantly in my every supplication, that's prayer, making the supplication with you all, for you all with joy. Sometimes we pray for people. The only way we pray for people, there's only two ways we will pray for people. Number one, they have health problems. Number two, they're about to give up the faith. Those two things, that will cause us, oh Lord. It was not that with Paul. It was not that. It was just like there's something very good. And I want to pray for you. And when I pray for you, I want to pray with joy. So, Algernon, stand up again. Sorry, you sat in the front row. So, when we remember Algernon, do we thank God? Okay, then let's just pray for Algernon. But not pray out of like, oh, he's about to give you up or the world is coming in. No, make a supplication with joy. In other words, this, you know, maybe Paul's prayer, our prayer for Algernon can be this. Lord, I pray that on Tuesday of this week, he will just be full of the Spirit. And he'll be so much enjoying the Lord that the riches of Christ will overflow. And the person he preaches the gospel to on that day will be saved. Isn't that a really good prayer? Thank you, Algernon. We, you know, and then I would just say, What if the church was just full of prayers like that? Like when you wake up in the morning, brother, sorry, what's your name? Daniel. What if I woke up in the morning on Tuesday, and then the first thing I thought about when I woke up was Daniel? Wouldn't that be, would you appreciate that? Thank you for your honesty. And then when I thought about Daniel, then I would say, like, thank you, God, for Daniel. And then it's not that Daniel had problems. It's like, oh, no, Daniel's gonna, like, or you're sick or something like that. But I would just pray for Daniel. And when I prayed for Daniel, I would be full of joy. What a wonderful church life. What a healthy church. And then maybe throughout the day, you would just feel like, you know, at noon on Tuesday, Daniel, you would just be there doing your job, you know, and then you just all of a sudden love the Lord. And you wonder, like, where does our love come from? It was because I woke up with your, with a remembrance of you, and I had a supplication with joy. This is a marvelous church life, and this is the relationship that Paul had with the Philippian believers who he was writing to. And then it was this, because of your fellowship with the gospel from the first day until now. Why was he so happy with them? Why was he so joyful? And then even having confidence of this very thing, that he who has begun in you a good work will complete it unto Christ Jesus' day. So he just had like a real like confidence that what God had begun in them, having confidence that that God who began a good work in them would complete it. And what was so striking to Paul was this one little phrase, fellowship with the gospel. Fellowship with the gospel. And I'm just going to take 5 minutes. I'm going to explain fellowship with the gospel. Paul saw them. He said, this is why I have such value in what God is doing. Because you have fellowship with the gospel. And that fellowship with the gospel, it could be very outwardly this. They sent a monetary offering to Paul when he was in prison. And then that could be translated like fellowship with the gospel. In other words, like, I'm here for the gospel in prison, and you've had like fellowship with me, you know, like by sending that monetary offering. And I think there is something to that kind of thought. But because when people offer their money, it's like, whoa, you're touched. You're actually touched. But I think it even goes deeper than that. It's like, you know, there was gospel. And then the fellowship is like, something affected your life. Something affected your life. And if you want to know, like, what the gospel is, you should read Romans. Or another book that even 2 Corinthians describes what the gospel is. But if you want to know how to live, how the gospel should affect the Christian life, you should read Philippians. And then he says like this, because of your fellowship with the gospel. You know, the gospel is the good news of Christ's salvation. And then sometimes people can, like, have the gospel stay the gospel, and they stay themselves. There's no effect. There's no effect. But when there is an effect on your life of the gospel, that is fellowship of the gospel. That's a fellowship of the gospel. So the gospel will describe a righteous living. But then if the person who has the gospel does not have a righteous living, then you realize not enough fellowship of the gospel. You know, so, you know, sometimes when a believer becomes a believer, they have all kinds of things in their past, all kinds of things that have accumulated. Sexual things. Greedy things. Things that have the habits from the past. And then, you know, like it, for just this one thing, the Bible says that the sex act is only allowed between marriage defined as man and woman in the context of that act, in the context of that relationship. That is where any sexual act is legal, is allowed. And then if you have somebody who the gospel's there, but there's no fellowship, in other words, then that part of their life is not touched. But if there's fellowship of the gospel, then you just realize, oh, a lot of things are touched in a person's life. A lot of things from the old life are touched. A lot of things from the past are touched. There is a change. And then you can look at that person, and then you could say this, fellowship of the gospel. Something, oh, and Paul saw. And it's just one example. And then my time is up. But Paul just saw this, for your fellowship of the gospel from the first day until now. He saw, like, you know what? When you received the gospel, Philippians, your life began to change. There was an effect of your life. And there that fellowship was clear. And you know, when I look at that, I see something so encouraging. And then look at this. Then having confidence of this very thing, when he saw them have that effect of the gospel within their lives, then he said this, that he who has begun in you a good work will complete it until Jesus Christ's day. You just realize, like, wow, there was an impact, an effect on their life. And it was evident and it was clear. And Paul just saw what a marvelous church Philippi was, because there was this living relationship that they had with the gospel.